A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. I am one half of your hosting team. My co-host Chris Glasson, I believe, is he's in a cell again. He's been arrested. I can't go into what it is for legal reasons. It was unpleasant, and it did involve a donkey and a road cone. So bear with me. I'm still trying to comprehend the sort of things that Chris is capable of doing. It's been a very distressing few days for both myself and the donkey. Today's episode, top five fights that you got excited about watching. And it's not just fights. I'm not talking about a couple of blokes whacking one another in a pub car park. We're talking about the noble art. We're talking about boxing. If you're not a fan of boxing, don't let that put you off, because we talk about all manner of stuff on this podcast, as you know, and as you come to expect from Chris and I. I have a massive passion for boxing, and so it was a real joy to do this podcast. And, yeah, it was just one of them ones where Chris and I just sat in the bar, had a couple of beers and had a chat, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Before we get on with it, big thanks to 76 for producing this. Thanks to our amazing sponsors, Bang Boom Creative and Love Beer. Thanks to Charles over there. And with Bang Boom Creative, when you see those really cool videos on Instagram or Facebook or on Twitter, that's Luke from Bang Boom Creative comes up with them. And they're just incredible. He does them for us pretty much every week now. Yeah, what more could you want from a sponsor, you know? He supports us and then each week churns out an amazing video highlighting just what a pair of dinkles Christopher and I are. Yeah, so big love to him. Right, so I think that's it. Big love to everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network and Screw Pip. Let's get on with the episode. Please enjoy Hardcore Listing. Top five boxing fights you got excited watching. Enjoy.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast with me, Stu Whiffin. Sitting opposite me, as always, is
Dr. Feelgood.
Chris Glasson. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. We just did a really fun... we did your radio show, Boogaloo, didn't we? And we did my top 10 songs if it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And going through your day, what songs you would listen to. And it was really nice and fun. And because it's radio, we could actually sit there and listen to it and play it out. And it was really good, wasn't it? Got to make out a little bit. And
shall we put it out for the Patreons?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Would you like that, gang?
So the reason he's saying that is he's looking at the camera, because if you are a Patreon, then you can probably watch this episode. Today's top five.
Yes.
Top five boxers. Mm-hmm. You got excited wanting to watch.
Yep.
You're reaching into your pocket to find out who suggested
actually,
that one, aren't you?
Remembered. Timothy Eland or Elland.
Tim Eland.
If I've... Tim Belland. If I've pronounced your name wrong.
Let's call him Tim Belland.
Tim Belland. Thanks, bro.
Nice
I don't
one.
Think we've roasted Tim.
Timbo.
Timbo! That's what he screams when as he comes. He goes, Timbo! I don't know if you do any of that, Tim.
Yeah.
What's up? Great top five. I didn't have to sell this very hard to Stuart. As soon as I read it out, you were like, oh, yeah, let's do top You've read it out, haven't you? Top five boxers that you've always been excited to watch.
Yeah. And
great
I mean,
top five.
What you can't see if you are watching this is behind the cameras at the iconic shot of Ali standing over a flattened Sonny Liston.
Yeah.
To the left of the camera, which you probably can't get, is Arturo Gatti. And and below, well, there's some more boxers in the room next door. There's Leon Spinks, a signed Leon Spinks.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
Next to Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a signed Hatton.
Mm-hmm. Has there been an earthquake in here? Because those pictures are on the wall.
But they're both perfectly on the
They're both on the one at the same way, aren't they?
And the other one below that is the legend that is Nick Diaz.
Quite the pugilist himself.
Very much so.
Yeah.
With a Stockton slap thrown in.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
For good measure.
You can have that in boxing.
So, if you're not a fan of boxing, don't let that put you off this episode, because it will be much the same as anything else, really. Just me and you having a bit of back and forth.
Bit of bants.
Bants o'clock.
I don't know any bants, and I'm terrible at puns. I'll tell you who's great at puns.
Who?
Is Stuart Mangan.
76.
He's really good at puns, isn't he? I feel like when he's punning off,
Banton deck.
Did you just come out of that one then? Oh god. I feel like I should leave the room. Feel like I'm not good enough.
Bantony Joshua. Bantony
Joshua.
Bantony Joshua.
Yeah,
very not
good.
Rumble.
Very, very amped.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's no criteria for this, right? It is just a case of top five fighters that you got excited wanting to watch.
Mm.
I imagine the fact that we are different in age may reflect on this.
Yeah, I think so.
You can, I'll tell you what, let's have 10 rounds. First round, ding, ding, Glasson.
Okay, on Glasson. I'm going to go Deontay Wilder for number five.
Really?
Yeah, because I just like the fact he knocks everyone out. Like, he's actually, his last few fights, I take it, like his last few fights, I've enjoyed less. That Fury Wilder one
was
amazing. Mm. But he's just a wild puncher, man. He isn't like there's other boxers on here. There's one that I'm not gonna put in my five, but I probably should do. Who they're so amazing technically, and they're just great boxers. But Wilder isn't that. He's just got insane power in his fists, and I do sometimes quite like to see people throwing bombs, and the bronze bomber does that very well. His record is quite mad. I mean, maybe he's been knocking out quite a lot of bums.
I think it's safe to say some of the early wins were
gimmies.
I think sometimes, you know, they're probably going to get some boxing enthusiasts messaging in saying otherwise. But I do believe that the first, in America, I think some of the early fights are a little bit easier than some of the earlier fights you get in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, if you disagree, then message him. But, he racked up a very sizable record with that record not necessarily having anyone of any note on it.
Mm. I was trying to think of someone who's... Because some of them were probably like amateur boxing fights, because there was one I was researching.
Really, professional records is professional records.
Yeah, exactly. But what I was thinking is like Lemachenko, and I was looking this up, Vasyl Lemachenko, his amateur record was 396-1.
And who...
That's crazy.
Do you know what? I've been away this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Did Lemachenko fight this weekend?
I don't know.
He fought the British lad this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that next weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he has had a match, as they call them.
So you're going with a bronze?
I know that this episode you're going to be definitely more... I used to like boxing more, but once I got into MMA, I kind of sort of like, I really wasn't following a great deal of boxing. Mm. I didn't keep up with both. And even then, I don't suppose I was a watching a lot of it anyway. So, so I don't know. I do just kind of quite like Wilder's like knockout power. Mm. And that's why I still enjoy watching him box. Because he can be on the losing. When he's fighting Ortiz, he looked like he might be on the points on the, down, even against Fury.
Mm.
But you always know he's got that power then. Pretty much every time he has pulled it out of the bag and knocked out. It's something like 38 KOs. I might have to just whip up his record.
I think the heavyweight scene at the moment, especially if you're English, is in probably the best place it's been for many, 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 many years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet the politics in it, mm-hmm. whether that be for television rights or governing bodies, whatever they're mm-hmm. fighting under, he's spoiling it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tyson Fury beat Deontay Wilder, yeah. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not necessarily a massive fan of Tyson Fury, the man, mm-hmm. But I do think he's the best heavyweight boxer we've got by quite a way. I think he would be quite a difficult fight for Anthony Joshua.
You think Fury's the best?
Boxer, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah. Winner. Do you think that's different?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't criticise Anthony Joshua, and I don't want to, because he's beaten everything that's been put in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's been dropped,
mm-hmm.
he's done what champs do and get back up and win the fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't knock Anthony Joshua. And for somebody that was, when you look at how quickly he was fighting fighters of real pedigree,
mm-hmm.
a lot quicker than Deontay Wilder was.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that Tyson Fury is a very tricky fighter. I don't necessarily think he's the most exciting fighter to watch uh-huh. because he boxes smart.
Yeah.
He's, for a monster of a man,
yeah.
his head movement's amazing, his hand speed's great, and mm-hmm. he moves on his feet, on his toes, like a middleweight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I think, for me, the things that I think might... I'm no boxing expert. I'm just, you know, bloke down the pub talking about it. But I watch Anthony Joshua fight, and he's never really on his toes. Mm-hmm. He's quite planted when mm-hmm. he throws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he connects. Obviously, that's why he knocks people out. That's
where the power comes from, isn't it?
But I do think... I see the fight between Wilder and Fury. Sorry, Joshua and Fury. Should it ever happen,
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think it will.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be Fury on his toes, just flicking that jab out.
Yeah.
And frustrating Joshua, yeah. who'll be trying to get the bombs off.
Closing down.
And I think, you know... don't get me wrong, you can't run for the whole fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we've seen, Fury can take a massive shot and get up from it. But, yeah, I think it's a really interesting time. And I think Fury should have had that Wilder rematch straight away.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know why he's fighting... what's his name? I can't think who Wilder's fighting next. Oh, God, what's his bloody name? And I don't know, I've no idea who Anthony Joshua's fighting.
He's fighting that babyface.
Yeah.
That New York Queens.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. Once we got into UFC, then I'll try and watch as much of it as I can in the boxing, but I do find UFC, there isn't that much politics. There isn't governing bodies. You've got UFC,
there's few
the elite are in there.
Yeah. It's got more political, it's got more... The best aren't always fighting the best a couple of years ago. It feels like UFC are getting a bit better at that now.
Yeah. Conor McGregor will fight who Conor McGregor wants to fight. Make no mistake. We all know that.
That was the biggest flagship for that. But
let's not talk about it.
Nah. Wilder. I think you're right. I think the heavyweight division is quite exciting now. And the bronze bomber, 39 knockouts he's had out of 40 fights.
Yeah.
It's not bad going, is it, really?
Definitely.
Even if you're fighting bums,
mm-hmm.
Can you knock out 39? It's quite impressive.
Absolutely.
His knockout thing is pretty cool. Are you going to speak much on Fury for the rest of it?
No.
Okay. So I kind of agree with you on that with regards to how he's a great boxer. He's got great footwork. But I don't know if he is the winner between him and Joshua.
Hopefully we'll find out.
I really hope we do. I think we will. I want to have a positive outlook on it. I think Joshua's team are just very smart, and I think they know.
Oh, completely.
I think that's his next move to fight in America, is just to make sure that he's showing Deontay that he's fighting on his fucking ground now. And he wants to prove that he's there, ready to fight.
I think Wilder's a better fight for Fury for Anthony Joshua than Tyson Fury is, But yeah, you know, hopefully we'll get to see all these fights.
I think Joshua Wilder might be the next one after, with a bit of luck, if we keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. Absolutely great.
Go on then, round 9, or your number 5. This is going to be confusing for everyone.
I'm going to go Chris Eubank Senior.
Mm-hmm.
I love Chris Eubank.
Yeah.
I know that everyone's digging him now because of Junior's career and him being in the corner and being Chris Eubank,
mm-hmm.
but I just liked him.
Yeah.
I could talk at length. I could have done top five middleweights from the 80s of that specific era. I will be talking about another one shortly.
Cool.
And I just think the fighters at that point, whether it was some of the ones that, I mean, Gary Stretch. I mean, Gary Stretch, who a lot of people won't know as a boxer, but will know as the guy who leads the gang in Dead Man's Shoes.
Yeah.
Was an incredible middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
Only lost once to Chris Eubank Sr. And that was debatable. That got stopped on a cut, and I think Stretch was ahead at the time. But yeah, Eubank, Ben Watson, Mike McCullum, Steve Collins, like just, I mean, aside from McCullum, like all amazing British middleweights.
And
Michael Watson, just, oh, what a incredible fighter to watch. And Harold Graham as well. That era for me was an era in the mid-80s when I really got into boxing. And we'll talk about other fighters from that era, without a shadow of a doubt, as this moves on. But Chris Eubank, I love the fact that everyone hated him, but loved him.
Yeah.
And so it's that thing, I guess, that, you know, modern-day people probably get from Fury or McGregor.
That
kind of, you know, you either want to see him win or you want to see him get knocked out.
Get destroyed,
It's a love-hate thing. I just love the best thing, the walkout. I love the jumping over the ropes. I love the standing there, glove on glove, just standing there, looking out the corner of his eye at the crowd.
Yeah.
I just loved it. I read his book, just brilliant. Like, was a bad kid and got sent out to America to live with his family, his extended family, and got thrown into... I mean, he'd come from a boxing family. His older brother, Peter Eubank, was a good fighter as well. But he got sent out to Detroit and got thrown in the Kronk gym.
Soft place.
Yeah. The Kronk.
Yeah.
So the Kronk was the gym that was famous for... You still see people wearing Kronk t-shirts, Kronk gym t-shirts. So Tommy Hearns was the hitman was the main legend from the Kronk. Another British fighter that relocated to the States, Dennis Andrees, fought out of the Kronk. But Eubank then went to the Kronk, and where he was, you know, disciplined.
Yeah.
And come back to the UK.
Sexually?
a completely different fighter.
Yeah.
And I liked his sort of his styles, the way that he stood in the ring, the way he moved his feet. I liked how he used to sort of like wind himself backwards. You know, he'd done these sort of weird little backward steps. Looked a little bit unorthodox.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I loved the relationship he had with Ronnie Davis, his trainer. Junior's got it now. And I've just got a lot of time for it. An amazing thing in his book, everyone knows that Chris Eubank moved to Brighton, bought a lorry and would drive his truck. His heavy goods vehicle truck around Brighton. Obviously,
that's not a place to be driving a truck.
No, I
is
know,
it?
But
know
like,
I mean?
But it, obviously,
small
it's
narrow streets, Chris.
Maximise the attention.
Yeah,
and you know, dressing monocle, you know,
driving a truck.
Like, who where does that?
Where did the posh voice come from?
No idea, but I love it. I love it because
he did inhabit the persona of an English villain, didn't he? Really?
Yeah, and it pissed people off. And it pissed his, you know, his opponents off.
Yeah.
But I read a story in that book that he saw a guy rob an old lady in the lanes in Brighton.
So he just ran him over in his truck.
And the guy's gone like running down the road. He's pushed a load of people out of the way, and he's seen it. So he stepped in and stuck one on his floating rib.
Oh.
And like the fella's crumbled to the floor.
Yeah.
And as Eubank then restrained him on the floor, the bloke went, "Do you know I fucking am?" To which Eubank replied, "Well, let me tell you I am. I'm Christopher Livingston Eubank, and this is a citizen's arrest." Fucking love that, mate. Lennox Lewis ain't going to do that. Like, just brilliant. Man. And yeah, and when Junior come through, I wanted him to be brilliant. I think he's good.
Mm.
And I'm really excited to see where he's going to go.
Mm.
And yeah, I just think he's... I think Senior is a character in boxing.
Yeah, I've seen him in some of those like the interviews with Junior and Senior sort of like lurking around in the backs, and then he just occasionally whispers in his ear.
Yeah.
Probably something about disciplining him or something. And he is a real character.
Love it.
The monocle and that is just absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely.
And I'll never forget that fight with Watson, the first one. Was it?
Ben.
Did he only have fight Watson once? And then that was it. No, they had a rematch, didn't he? And he won, and he ended up giving him brain damage.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tremendous fights, that. But,
And Watson obliterated him in that fight.
Yeah.
And Eubank said in that last round when he dropped him, he said, I laid on the canvas, and he said, was it in round 10? I can't think. And he said, I looked to Ronnie in the corner and I just literally said to him, I'm all right.
Mm.
And he said, for some reason, I've been whipped for the whole fight by, of all that era, the greatest boxer was Watson, in my opinion. And he said, I just stood up and I felt like 1,000 men. And I just literally got up and then obviously threw some shots that I'm sure in hindsight I wish he'd never thrown.
Yeah.
You know, they were career-ending and life-changing for Michael Watson.
In the worst of ways, really.
Yeah. But. And it's lovely when you see the footage of them as friends now and Watson's an absolute legend. I was really privileged. I went to watch Junior Whitta fight at York Hall a few years back, and Watson was in front of me.
No way.
Yeah, and at the time when he was fighting,
start flicking his ear. Or something.
I was a ridiculously big Arsenal fan at that point, and Watson was Arsenal through and through, you know, and so it was a real privilege to. Just to get to say hello, you know.
But
I'll talk more about this era later because it was a golden era of middleweight fighting. But Christopher Livingston Eubank,
good choice, mate. Good number five. So just as a little pit stop, you've done some kickboxing and you've done some boxing training.
I have.
You have a fancy. You was gonna have an amateur boxing match, wasn't you? Blue collar.
Yeah.
Without probably our most out of shape mate.
Yep.
That's who you picked.
Yeah.
Out of shape, short, fat mate. And that was the guy you were going to fight for charity. Was he the charity? You were going to beat the shit out of him and then give him money?
No, Matt's... it was really weird because Matt had always done martial arts. And he was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to just do some white collar. And he was like, oh, I might do some of that. I said, well... We're both promoters. We're both DJs. Let's have a scrap.
Yeah.
He's shorter than me, but he was probably heavier than me at that point.
Yeah.
And I just thought, okay. And he was like, let's do it. And then he got injured. Training. He got whacked by, I won't say who, but quite a famous fighter.
Oh, really?
It was a really strange story. That I won't actually go into that, but... But yeah, you know, I.
How much did it cost to make that happen?
A monkey. I'm on a Sunday like to go and have a little spa and have a little whack around on the bags and the pads. It's brilliant. Kids do it. I do it. It's fun. And like, if you get every now and again to throw a few kicks in, that's even better as well.
Yeah, I haven't hit a boxing bag in ages, and I quite miss it, to be honest.
Well, have you seen one that's popped up in my garden?
Oh yeah, I did actually. It saves you hitting the kids now.
Exactly, mate. Yeah,
they can take it, but you know.
Round three, Chris.
I think we're on round just round, and my fourth selection. Actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who did you have, Wilder?
No, all I've said is Wilder so far.
Yeah, round three, because I've gone one.
Oh, we're just doing five. We're not doing our top 10, because you originally said we're going to do 10.
Yeah, your five and my five.
Yeah. So I've done one, so this will be round...
One, two, now back to three.
Oh, we're doing it. Oh, right, sorry, okay.
Fucking hell. What is it?
It is... I feel bad saying Mayweather.
Why?
I'm going to say Mayweather. Is he in yours?
No.
No, okay. The reason why I almost excluded him was because he's a fucking woman beater.
Yeah.
And like, I think we should probably expect more from our however, whatever you do, you know, I think you should expect more from them, especially because you're a professional boxer. And, like, I don't think it's ever, I don't know if it's ever been settled in court, but I know it's been settled out of court a few times when he's hit women. So that's a very shame. But in terms of, like, watching someone fight defensively, he's a tremendous person to watch box.
He's the best.
Yeah, it's like, it's the complete opposite of what I was talking about with Wilder. Do you know what I mean? Like, Mayweather has got power, but it isn't like the power of other boxers. Mm. You know, it's just average, really. Yeah. I mean, he done McGregor, but what
yeah, that doesn't count.
He's knocked out quite a few people in his history, but Ricky obviously, Hatton. Yeah, exactly. Now that was, I was going to say that fight. Now that, how's my hair? That is my hair looking awful? Is it, have I got crest hair? Can
you just look section? Like Beaker.
Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. So that Hatton fight, it was embarrassing to watch that. Like, he was punching and dancing circles around Hatton. Hatton ended up like at one point forward, headbutting a
however.
I was mad.
However, I thought the ref was very unfair on Hatton, because Hatton used to like fighting on the inside of the body. Mm. The ref was breaking them the minute they got anywhere near each other, which is obviously very much favours Mayweather. Make no mistake, he'd done a fucking incredible number, but he can be really boring to watch.
Mm. Yeah.
But you don't get a record like that unless you are spectacular. Yeah, and you look at the names on the list as well, man. They ain't road sweepers, mate.
No, exactly. He really has fought the best, and his footwork is fucking incredible. Mm. I love watching that, you know. It's like, I think after a while, it's like the same thing as when people say, like, mixed martial arts, when people are doing, like, the grappling on the floor, that's their least favourite part. But after a while, you just start really admiring it, and I think that's what it is with Mayweather. Is he has raised that to an art form. He does work hard at that art form. He's a very smart boxer. He's fought the right boxers at the right times as well. It's interesting. He's another guy who's made a career a little bit out of that sort of like wanting, getting everyone to hate him and want to bet against him and want him to get smashed up. I'm one of them, you know, in many regards.
I thought Oscar De La Hoya beat him. I when I watched that, I thought that was, I could have given that decision to De La Hoya. Aside from that, you know, he's spectacular. Mm. Just don't like the mind. I think he's an awful man. But
I've not met him.
No,
but I mean, watching his interviews, he might be able to control some of that output. But the rest of it, I just think
that kind of relationship with money, excuse me, does not impress me.
No, definitely.
And again, it's the same reason we've got to stop talking about Conor McGregor. Mm. Another reason why people are starting to just think he's a knob.
Yeah, doesn't do many favours to your money, does it?
No, I really don't. Yeah, solid entry, mate. Solid entry.
Who's your? So this will be round four. You see, I'm on board now. We've counting. Ding, ding. Round four.
Frank Bruno.
Yeah, good choice.
I didn't think Frank was one of the greats.
Yeah.
But if this is about fighters you got excited watching, I got very excited watching Frank Bruno fight. I remember his first defeat to Bonecrusher Smith when I was very young. And then I remember being allowed to stay up and watch him fight Tim Witherspoon, where I thought he was going to win the belt, and then got stopped.
Hmm.
That's
an exciting time.
When people say, Frank Bruno couldn't take a punch, you get hit by some of them men that he's fighting.
Yeah.
Like, if you get smacked on the jaw, it doesn't matter what, your body will say, and drop your hands, and you're probably going to get another one, and then you're going to sit down for a bit. Because you're getting hit with, like, weight, and power that, you know, that no one's body is designed to absorb.
Yeah.
While standing on their feet with their hands by their head, fighting back, you know. And I think watching him then go on to fight Mike Tyson both times, being allowed to stay up with the, at the youth club, and all
used
of
to
us
used to sleep at the youth club.
No, we went weird. To the youth club. It was so fucking cool, man. Like the geezer that ran our youth club, he kept it open and he got a big screen in, and he charged us all like fucking £3 or something to come in, and like. And we'd all had like beers and shit.
Nice.
And like, we all must have been about 16. Yeah. But like, what was it, 89? Yeah, so I would have been like 16. Like, standing there at 3 a.m. in your school, where the youth club was, watching Frank Bruno. And it was amazing. And like, the anticipation for it of, are your British fighters fighting Iron Man?
Yeah.
You know? And it was, you know, the result was fucking horrible. But that in that first round, when he fucking stops him in his tracks, and you just think, and just hearing Harry Carpenter going, "God, get in there, Frank!" Like, it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And then to see, you know, his career then, you know, pick itself back up, and to see him.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, you know, we were blessed to be able to sit down with Frank Bruno and do this podcast
with him. One of the very
few
times we've been nervous.
Yeah.
Definitely. And not because we think, oh, God, he's going to beat us up or anything stupid like that. It's just that
it's Frank Bruno.
He's like, it's a big deal, you know?
But, yeah, like, I can't think of a better moment as a boxing fan as hearing Land of Hope and Glory and seeing Frank Bruno, the champion, beating Oliver McCall. Like that last round where McCall's just trying to stop him and Frank's fucked, but he's just hanging in there with everything. And then just to, literally, I can't watch that. The fireworks go up, Land of Hope and Glory comes on. I'm no nationalist, you know, I'm not big on being British or anything like that.
You voted out though, you want them all out of our country, but yeah, go on.
But no, I couldn't give a shit about being English and really couldn't. And the fact that that song means nothing to me, but other than that's the
moment
that soundtracks that, and it's just evocative. And So Frank Bruno.
Good choice, mate. Yeah, very nice.
I should clarify, I do like being English, but I don't wear a football shirt and tell everyone how fucking great it is to be English. Because there's lots of things about being English.
Because you've got that flag hanging out your front window anyway, so everyone knows. You've got the English one.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Confederate flag for some reason hanging out. I don't get it. I don't get it. All the kids were running around with pillows over their heads when I got here. No, I'm the same, mate. I've never been it. Because I guess before even I understood, I guess when I was younger, I was slightly patriotic. Before you start making up your own mind about the world around you, right? But I started not enjoying watching football because I didn't how people became so tribal about football and how if you're in one team, anything you did was fine, even when you're fouling, you're saying it wasn't a foul. I didn't like that about football. And I started to see that themes in any form of patriotic behaviour. Yeah. It's the same, that tribalism. And we are tribalistic in nature, obviously. It's not good for you. No. It's not really that good for you to be like that. It's okay to be proud of achievements that we've done, as much as you should be very much aware of the some of the more terrible things that we've done as a country. And even so, that's still very much linked to just human nature in itself.
Yeah. And just be nice.
Be nice, man.
Don't
just
be
nice.
Rubbish.
Yeah. For sure.
Round five.
I'm going to go Joshua.
Okay.
Because I'm getting with Joshua, I think, what you got with Bruno a little bit. Yeah, because there's been no one that's been on the international scene as a heavyweight who's British. Well, no, actually, no. I'm telling a massive lie. There was one other, but it was in a time when I was kind of not... I was drinking a lot, not paying attention to anything else other than partying. You haven't got Lewis. No. Oh, no. Right, cool.
But just nod to Lennox
Lewis.
Definitely.
I considered it.
A career had two losses... Both times, next fight, come back and avenge them losses.
Exactly. He's always avenged his losses and a fucking fantastic boxer. So I did consider Lewis and I did consider Bruno. Mm. And then I thought, you know what? Joshua's my guy. He's that guy. Like, I like him as a person. I think he's a smart lad. I think he's humble. You can see his background and where he comes from, and he doesn't hide anything about his character. He is, I feel, and you never know, but I'm pretty much certain if he fucking walked through that door, he'd be the same dude as I've seen in loads of interviews. Do you know what I mean? Like, and
you can't fake it for this long.
No, you can't. And like, I like that. He's up for a laugh. You can see he looks after his mates and that they're a unit, and he values friendship and family, and he doesn't value money, although it's nice to have it, no doubt.
I'm sure he's struggling with a mortgage.
Of course. If he can give us a hand. Not without joint mortgage. We've got a joint mortgage, guys. We've got. There's been some big changes in your household. Carol's out.
Chris is in.
You got a new old lady. But I just think that. Yeah, he is a genuine dude. He's hardworking. He was sort of going down possibly the wrong path as a kid. He turned it round. He didn't have any. No one did him any favours other than, I think, I can give him a pair of boxing gloves or loaned him the money for a pair. And he's a big lad, but he boxes really well. He boxes technically and he's got power, and he's demonstrated that he can take a lethal blow. he's demonstrated that he can be put on his ass and come back. Yeah. And I thought that was great seeing that Klitschko fight. And I think that story's still not finished. I think there's some other massive fights there. And I think he's going to come through if he keeps a level cool head, which I think he's got. And that's why I think I think you're right, it's a real tough fight, that Fury. But he's got my support over Fury. Do you know what I mean? Like, as a personally, he's got my support, because, you know, I don't condemn Fury as much as others, but I still condemn him for the thing, his actions and what he says, right? And we're all human and we can all get things wrong. But even so, I don't have that hang up with, you know, Anthony. He just doesn't. He isn't that guy. Yeah. And he has a laugh with his mates. He's got a lot of love for people, and he's a fucking strong boxer. So I get that excitement, and I want to see his next fight. And I think that fight in America against this slugger, I think is a smart move, given what like Fury and Wilder might be shutting him out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think those fights will come in time. Mm-hmm. And I want to be there for it. And a testament to that, look how he's selling out our stadiums and stuff like that. So a lot of other people feel that there's that excitement around him as well. So that's why I picked him, man. I want to see that career continue to go, and for him to have that sort of legacy. I think you only deserve it if you get it.
Yeah.
But whatever it is in terms of the record, I think he's leaving a legacy that he can be proud of, regardless if he ever gets any losses on it. So,
Great.
Man. So that's my that's round five. So yeah. So ding ding, round six.
We'll go Ricky Hatton.
Yeah, I considered him.
Because
I think, like, now, do you reckon you could take him if you had a fight with Ricky Hatton now? Who's going to win?
I think Ricky Hatton would knock me out in under 10 seconds.
You're a bit of a unit, though. You're quite a tall. You're quite an intimidating character until you get to know you, and then you realise that you're just.
But Ricky
just a
Hatton,
wet blanket.
Ricky Hatton, you know, was a world champion. You know, you don't forget that.
No, his fists were probably like slabs of meat, aren't they?
God, yeah. Again, I didn't think Ricky Hatton was the greatest anywhere near it. But I, basing it on when I got excited for Fight Night, the atmosphere when Ricky Hatton was fighting, I would never watch it in a pub because I don't like, it's the same with a football crowd. I don't like, and I know we're being armchair critics now, and I'm no boxing expert. But I'm a big fan of boxing. Mm-hmm. And I have watched it for many, 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 many years and read about it.
Yeah.
And I've had a go at it. And so I kind of have an all right opinion, I think. Like, I can sort of understand what they're doing a lot of the time.
Yeah. The fundamentals.
Yeah, just the basics. And I don't like being in the pub when it's like, we'll just fucking hit him. And it's like, well, of course he just wants to fucking hit him.
Have you seen it when two people unprofessional fight? It's the most embarrassing, boring thing.
Completely.
Swinging windmills, none of them landing, punching them on the upper part of the head, breaking knuckles and stuff like that. It's not the case of that. Do you remember that charity fight between Gervais and Grant?
Bovey.
That was embarrassing, wasn't it, watching that? Yeah.
Because these people are professional fighters.
Yeah.
And so if you watch Hatton, what I used to like... Like, I guess most people liked about Hatton. A, he was likeable.
Mm.
You know, he had character.
Yeah.
He was textbook working class hero.
Yeah.
But what he had, like my number one had, was that, ain't ducking no one. I'll fight the best. And Hatton had so many fucking great fights. The night he fought Costa Zoo was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Mm.
Like, just because, like Bruno, like so many of the nation's most loved fighters, which is what I'm basing this on.
Yeah.
There's a million and one fighters I'd like to have spoke about, like Lloyd Hannigan, like Kirkland Lang, that, you know, even fighters like Dave McCauley that meant a lot to me.
Clubber Lang.
And Clubber Lang, that really I could have really got excited about talking about. I want to think about the ones where I've generally been with my mates watching these fighters because we know it's going to be super exciting. Mm. There's atmosphere, you know, beers and Hatton was always that. And then, you know, he beats Costa Zoo, he's got the belt. And so what do you do? Do you do what a lot of fighters do and pick quite... I think it was Castillo he fought, which was my greatest Hatton stoppage. So if you watch him at the time, I think, I don't know if he moved on from Billy Graham, his trainer then, but he used to work on that body shot. And he said it was all about the timing. And he said he'd throw one to the body and he'd over-exaggerate it. So when he got hit, the fighter knew it was coming and he'd take that breath.
Mm.
And then, because obviously, you know, if you're taking take that intake of breath as you get hit and you're not tensing...
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are, you can have a little sit down.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll just over exaggerate it, bang, and then I might throw another one, and then off time, I'll throw a third one, and I'd catch him just, I'd wait for him to go, and then bang, I'd catch him on that intake of breath, good night.
Oh.
And when you watch them shots, it's not like when someone gets hit on the jaw and they go down.
Yeah.
So if you watch the Castillo fight, he steps in and he just catches him in that floating rib. And then he goes to throw another shot, Castillo, and he goes to take a breath to throw that, and that breath's not there. And then he does what I was saying about Chris Eubank, that winding walk backwards. He just literally, it looks like someone's rewound him. He takes like 3 steps backwards down to his knees and then can't move.
Yeah.
Because Hatton has punched every bit of air out of his lungs.
Yeah.
And it's fucking incredible to see. Yeah. And so when people are going, just fucking hit him, there's an art to timing that shot to land. It's like fucking you're in your X-Wing fighter and you're going to blow up the Death Star. You've got to get that sweet spot.
You're shooting swamp rats out the back.
But you're not fighting me. You're fighting a fucking craftsman, a professional that knows every trick in the book to not get hit and to hit. And so to get them shots off, when you do it, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then from doing all of this, Right, what's next? Right, who's the most dangerous, most coveted title, like champs in the world? Well, there's two. I'll fight them both. So he goes and fights Mayweather, then goes and fights Pacquiao. Hmm. Like, that's a champ.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't fare too well in both of them fights. Yeah. But he didn't duck them.
No.
He knew that's where the money was. He knew that's where the glory was. Mm-hmm. And he knew that's what the fans wanted. Mm-hmm. And he was a fans fighter, Ricky yeah. Hatton. He fought for the fans. And however much of an ardarsh you might be, you can't not get caught up in that. When you see Definitely. A boxer on a mic talking to the crowd of his fans, the minute I hear Blue Moon, mm-hmm. I know Ricky Hatton's walking out to fight. And it's just brilliant. And yeah, and so for that reason, Ricky Hatton.
Oh man, that's a great choice. Yeah, wow. Did you see him live? Do you ever go and watch any of his fights?
No, I don't.
For the same reason that you don't want to watch it in a pub.
Yeah, and I don't find you get that. You didn't get that at UFC. There seem to be more kind of people that were martial artists or...
Well, the first few that we went to see, you did get it. And you did get a bit of the people coked up watching men in fighting cages. And you still see aspects of that at the big fights, but it's not...
What we should say is we're generally cage side at UFC, courtesy of Scroobius Pip, so we're not exactly loitering with the OX.
No.
We're premium economy here, aren't we, mate?
Yeah, well, last time I think I was sat with... what's that guy's name? Tom... Hardy.
That's right.
Remember Tom
That's
Hardy?
That's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I couldn't make that night.
So I was just watching the boxing.
I mean, the MMA. First night I went, I was sat next to David Hay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the dude from True Blood behind me. Who's the pretty one?
The Scars, but Alexander Scars.
Yeah. Because Gustafsson was fighting, so he was coming over to watch him. Handsome boy, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. who did you choose?
I haven't said anything yet, mate. My number two, which is round 9.
Yeah.
Should be, shouldn't it? Yeah.
No.
No, where are we?
8.
Oh, yeah, round 8. 7. It is. No, it's 8, right? No, it is 8. It is 8. Because then you're... No.
It's 7, 8, 9, 10.
This is my number 4. This is my number 2, isn't it?
I don't give a shit.
It's my number 2, isn't it? Or not?
Let's talk about your number 2.
Are we on our threes then? Yeah, because you just did 6. That would have been your third. So I'm 7.
Right. That's what I just said. Oh. Peel back.
By the way, if we ever do top 5 insults, peel back is in there for
Thanks,
me.
Man.
You said it the other day, and I was just like, that is such a great insult. Calling someone a force.
Go to see a Big Papa J.
That's fucking brilliant. My number 2 is the Prince himself, Prince Nazim.
Mm.
I bloody love watching him box. That boxing style of hands down, lightning fast, and he put most people away, didn't he, as well? I mean, the walkouts and all that was quite cool, I guess. Well, it's not cool.
Come out on a magic carpet.
But yeah, exactly. I guess that's a thing.
He was textbook. Right? You either wanted to see him get sparked or you wanted to see him win.
Definitely. But I've always loved that fighting style.
Yeah.
Of being fast.
There's a little bit of that drunken sort of kung fu in his style, wasn't there?
Definitely, I think so. Yeah. It's that absolute ability to be fluid and fast and good timing to put people away.
It's that Ingle style, that Sheffield style, that hands by the... Like, Harold Graham had it,
right.
and Naz had it, and who else has used that recent times? I can't think. Just that ability to be able to just comfortably just think, right, hands down, I'm so confident in my movement.
Mm.
And like, yeah, and again, his fucking record.
He was absolutely tremendous, wasn't it? And yeah, I mean, like, because MVP, Michael Venom Page, MMA and kickboxer, he's always boxer. He's always said the reason he does that is, well, I don't need to have my defence up if I'm not there.
Yeah.
And having my defence up slows me down.
Yeah.
So far it's served me all right. And his kickboxing record is fucking fantastic as well. So I know there's sometimes a debate over who he's fought and whatnot, but yeah, definitely. And Nazim was absolutely tremendous at that. At that era, I can't remember, I was about 15, 16 then. So I was actually quite enjoying boxing. by that point. And Nazim was just an absolute highlight to watch whenever his fucking fights were
coming
on.
It was a big thing because he was, you know, this is the Britpop, this is Terrify Friday, you know. And
yeah.
He's on there, you know. Yeah, he's on there and he was like, he was so big, brash. Well, he weren't big, he was tiny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's tiny. Obviously his persona was huge. Knew how good he was. And he was incredible until
his last fight.
Antonio Barrera. Do not fuck with
just
that guy.
Just showed him up, didn't he?
Just. I mean, Barrera. What a dude. I mean, when was it Khan that fought Barrera? Like,
I don't know.
Old Barrera. Yeah. And it was like, oh, mate.
Was it sad? I
now you
fight.
Just think, on his day, mate, he would have just put you asleep. Like, just tough fighters, man. Like, and yeah, I loved it. Absolutely. As much as, because I wasn't a fan of Naz. I liked watching his fights because his fighting style was exciting and he was a gobshite.
Mm.
But I love Barrera.
Yeah.
And I think, I've got to Google this. I'm sure it was Khan and it's annoying me. But what was really interesting about this fight, if I can just find out if it was, Khan v. Antonio
Sorry, I should be talking, but I've decided to take a point out to have a custard cream.
It was it was Amir Khan versus Barrera. And what was brilliant was when he come out, the crowd really didn't give a shit about Khan, and they went mental for Barrera.
Really?
Yeah, in England, because he's a fucking legend. But Naz was that whole bravado of the mid-90s of that Britain's the greatest thing ever, that Britpop, Blair, you know, all of that stuff, he was right at the front of it as well.
He was riding that wave, definitely, sparking people out and running people over in Porsches or whatever.
Yeah.
He had that, didn't he?
He'd done some bad, weird stuff, didn't
Scary
he?
Scary times.
I think he's just been eating since then.
That has been his predominant pastime, mate. Yeah, for sure.
He's a little unit now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a fridge.
great shirt. right.
So you're number 8?
yes, it is.
The people watching would have noticed my... You see, this is how people know that I'm not munching down the mic, because when I eat, I go like that.
That doesn't
come up on the
mic. Do you know what? Every part of me wants to say that fighter, but I'm not going to.
You're torn. You're looking up at Gotti.
Yeah, I'm just thinking they're Mickey Ward, Gatti fights.
Gotti. Gatti, sorry.
Oh. Yeah, and God rest his soul.
How long's he? When did he croak?
Maybe 10 years ago.
Oh right, wow.
Do you know what? No, I'm not gonna say Gatti. I'm gonna go Nigel Benn. Again, as a boxer,
he's so scary.
I much preferred Michael Watson, and when Watson beat Benn. Was one of the most amazing fights I've ever seen. But what I liked about Benn, that unfortunately Watson never got the opportunity to do because of what happened to him.
Yeah.
But what the reason I put Benn above Chris Eubank is I think Chris Eubank fought some great fighters and had a chin of stone. But what I liked about Benn was he was like, wherever there's a champ, I'll fight him, I don't care.
Yeah.
And he went out after he got beaten by Watson. I mean, the hype around that fight, like he was pure West Ham and Watson was Arsenal. So there was, you know, the whole kind of divide and hype there. And Watson was the kind, nice dude. And Benn was the animal, you know, and he was an animal. He was a fighter. You know, I'd never, you know, of course he was a boxer, but he was, by them, if we're going to split it, he was definitely a fighter. And nothing was more exciting than when Benn got hurt, because he used to come fucking flying off them ropes, wanting to take your head off.
Yeah.
And like, and that takes fucking insane determination and grit, doesn't it? And so I just think of the excitement of knowing that Nigel Benn was fighting. And I remember when he got beaten by Eubank and when he got beaten by Watson, after the Watson fight, he then went and fought for the WBO title. He went out to America and he fought a guy called Doug DeWitt. Fought him in his own back garden. And when people talk about Ben and they talk about the Eubank fight and the Watson fight, which is generally what people talk about, you know, down the pub when they're talking about Nigel Benn being this, you know, knockout specialist. And he was, you know, he was a stone cold killer. But people forget to mention this fight called Aaron Bartley. Now, Aaron Bartley was the champ and was a fucking demon that was just the most ferocious, scary.
I remember him,
Nigel Benn went out and polished him off in 2 rounds or maybe a round. Like, knocked him down, got up, knocked him down. Like, it's, I can't remember exactly what round it was. It was early. He'd done a number on him. And it was like, there weren't many British boxers going over to the States and fighting these sort of fighters.
Yeah.
You know? And Benn never ducked it. And I liked that about him. And it's, you was never going to watch Benn get on his toes, jab, play it safe. It was just all or nothing.
Yeah.
And that generally, you know, and many times that come at a cost. But even when that cost was coming, you could not write him off because he would just bounce off the ropes throwing these fucking shots. I think when he fought Benn the second time, Eubank, he said that he pissed blood for like 2 weeks fucking after that fight. He said he's no one hits like him. He said every shot hurts. And like, you think our condition these fighters must be to take shots. And he said every
shot. Well, they have medicine balls just dropped on their stomach constantly, don't they?
And he said just, I've never, you know, just every shot hurt. And so, just the excitement around Benn just being and I mean, an interesting story as well, going back to the Eubank thing and Benn. There was lots of hype about the a lot of the people that were threatening Eubank that were, you know, from Nigel Benn's fan base and things like that. And there was all these death threats made that they were going to, he was going to get killed, apparently, walking in the ring. I'm trying to remember this story correctly. I'm sure it was like some part of his fan base or something like that. And he said, if you watch carefully when I walk out for the Benn fight, I always used to wear like a white towel over me. And he said, and when you see Ronnie Davis take the towel off, he said, if you watch carefully, normally just whipped it off, takes it off cleverly, because I had a bulletproof vest on underneath my towel walking
bloody
out to a
hell,
fight.
Man.
Not that you've got enough on your mind walking out to fight him. You're also worried about what's going to happen on your route now.
Yeah. Shanked.
Yeah. What's your number one?
Iron Mike.
Likewise.
Yeah, I mean, like, you...
Again, dubious as a man.
Dubious as a man, yeah. I think, you know...
We're talking about the boxers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Look, Benn... I sometimes forget Benn. But, like, he was absolutely vicious, like you were saying. And I always end up thinking, like Lewis. But, yeah, I guess Benn was an era... I'd seen a few of those middleweight fights, but not as many. I don't have the knowledge that you clearly do. But Tyson also has that sort of, like... It's just a fucking... At his prime, he was just a very scary man. The power in him, and he was a great boxer. But you know, ducking, bobbing, and weaving, and then just destroying people's bodies.
Using his height as an advantage as a heavyweight, being short, and using that as an advantage. You know, it was props to what was his corner man, Kevin Rooney, and obviously Cuss initially. Just hearing him shout them combinations, it was all number combinations, and he used to just shout the combinations out to him, Rooney, in the corner, and you'd see Tyson respond to him. It's fucking exciting.
Oh, yeah. And just destroy people. Just absolutely knock the shit out of people. And, you know, so I was very young when he fought Bruno, and I don't know if I'm having fake memory syndrome, because obviously it was late at night that was on, like 3 a.m., but I'm pretty certain I watched one of those fights, yeah. Even when I was 8 or 9. I mean, I wasn't out having drinks or anything like that. I think our scout leader had let us all stay around his house or something that.
Was that the night that you milked a cow with a blindfold on?
Yeah, we all had to.
Right.
But I can talk about it now, but he said, don't tell anyone, because you know, if you tell your parents, they'll die. So I had to keep it to myself for lots of years. And cow milk tastes, I don't know what it is, but my tastes have changed because milk tastes so much more different now to how I remember it tasting on that evening.
That's fresh cow's milk, though.
Mm. It tastes, because the milk that night tasted very much like my dad's sperm, which I'd been having quite a lot of. But anyway. what the fuck was we talking about? Mike Tyson, yeah, he's just a terrifying boxer. So it was Frank Bruno. I remember that fight. I remember watching it. I remember being gutted, and I'm pretty certain I watched it live at home. And but from that and all the other stuff after it, up to and including the ear biting incident, holy shit, he was the most exciting boxer on the planet.
And up until that moment where he got beat. I mean, you look at people like Golovkin of recent times, and you know that have got these highlight reels that are amazing, where everyone's saying, you know, what animals they are, and you know, you do not. I still don't think anyone has captured that moment that Mike Tyson had, where fighters were beat before.
Yeah.
So it was the 91-second knockout of. Oh God, who was his name? He was a light heavyweight, the younger brother of I was at Butlin's Bognor with my mate's dad and my mate, and we got up and watched it. It was what was his name? And I think for me that was the fight where I think let me just have a quick scroll through here. Tyson versus Marvis Frazier. He did beat Marvis Frazier, who was Joe's. What was his bloody name? Oh God, he's going to drive me up the wall. And he was the one that everyone was like, "Look, he's gonna step up from lightweight. From light heavyweight, and he's going to be the one that's going to really do a number on Tyson."
Mm.
And it was like, and everyone was saying, "Look, yeah, do you know? Oh God, let me just have a look. This is driving me up the wall." 93-second fight.
Yeah, I can't tell you.
Oh, 90-second fight. Michael Spinks. That was Leon Spinks, who's bloody signed me thing. It was his younger brother, Michael Spinks. And if you watch the stare down before they fight, you see pure fear. Like, absolute fear. Like, even though, you know, a lot of people thought Bruno was going to be a lamb to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
He went in there and he was like,
"Yeah,
we're fucking having this. Yeah. I'm not backing down from you." That Spinks fight, and he just, it was horrible to watch. Like, and you watch that highlight reel of Fury Tyson coming through, unbelievable. And you know, when you look at when he beat who did he beat to win the title? It was. Not because he then unified it with Pinkland Thomas, Tony Tubbs, Tyrell Biggs, but he beat it by had the black socks pulled up, Trevor Berbick,
right? Okay,
and when he beat him, like, to win the title, youngest heavyweight of all ever, then I think at that point,
what was he, 19 or was he a bit older than that?
Was he 20?
Fucking hell.
But yeah, and then obviously lifestyles of the rich and famous can suddenly...
Well, his stories are absolutely mental.
Yeah.
There's loads on YouTube about Mike Tyson stories. So obviously all the crazy shit in Vegas. But him just like leaving, going out, getting crazy and leaving Ferraris with mates and Lamborghinis and then just never picking them up.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, just driving around, and like one of those ones was Mike said, "Oh, can you just keep look after this for me?" And he never came and picked it up. And a guy like years later said to Mike, "Mike, you never came and never came and got it. And I was always worried because you were really hard to get hold of as well because your lifestyle. And he was like, no, when I meant, can you look after it for me? I did just mean keep it. And he's like, oh shit, I've been worried for years.
Not slept for like 8 years.
He's going to come and just go.
Polishing the car every day.
Is that Lambo? And he was like, no, he was just letting me have it.
Yeah.
The money, the fame, that must have been a crazy time for a guy who had a tough upbringing. Right?
I should have showed you next door when we was playing the records earlier. In there, I've also got the newspaper that I kept of the day that Nelson Mandela got released from prison was the day that Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson.
Really?
Greatest headline ever. So there's split down the middle. Mm. Tyson on his knees, like trying to push the gum shield back in, and obviously Mandela coming out and the headline down and out, and it was like, yeah, decent.
That's very
good. So I
good.
Kept that. And good.
There's a video on that about Buster Douglas beating him and why, yeah. It's a motivational video.
Yeah.
But it's about the importance of why. And people said, well, how did you manage to muster that? And why you need motivation. You need to find your motivation to achieve anything in life. And that bloke's why was his mum had died that day and he wanted to win it for her. So when he'd been put on his ass, why did he get up? Was because of that. Was because, you know, he said he was going to do it for his mum, and then he comes back and beats him, basically. You never, ever think that at the time the guy was invincible.
Shock the world.
Yeah.
Shock the world. And that's what it's about.
So will my heavyweight career, mate, which is what we're announcing now.
Best have another cup of custard creams, mate.
Just have a couple more custard creams. I'll get training just after this pack, I promise.
Decent list, mate. Bang on
thanks,
the hour.
Man. I'm like, yeah, I'm no boxing expert, and it's really
it's
cool.
It's not about that, though, is it? Really it's cool about the fight. You're excited
yeah.
watching.
It's cool listening to you talk about it. And I hope you folks enjoyed it. And Tim Bellend, I hope you enjoyed that, bro.
Nice one, Bell Peace.
yes. And we're going to record another one in a minute, aren't we?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Fuck you. There you go. Thanks ever so much for listening. We will see you next time. If you can't wait another week for an episode, there's a solution. Head over to Patreon, patreon.com/hardcore listing, and you can get another episode each week. Every Wednesday, Chris and I put out another bonus episode just for Patreons over on there. And by becoming a Patreon, you're really, really supporting what Chris and I do. Don't get us wrong. The fact that you listen to this podcast and support this podcast is amazing. And if you are interested in hearing more, this isn't some, you know, big plea, and it's just a case of it's over there if you like it. If you want to support the podcast and you want to get some more content, head over there and watch the video, because it'll make you smile, because it's a video of Chris and I in a hot tub, Scroobius Pip, Gal Porter, 76, Brad, they're all in it. Watch that, and it explains everything you need to know about our Patreon page. And yeah, if you can, great. If not, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and there'll be another one next Monday. Have a lovely week. We'll see you next time. Bye. Oh, yeah. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. PodBibleMag.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.